Brothers and sisters, today's feast is part of the Paschal mystery that we have been celebrating for the last several weeks. So in one way, it ends the earthly ministry of Jesus, and in another way, it begins the mission of the church. In the Acts of the Apostles, we hear the apostles who are still concerned about earthly rule and power when they pose the question to Jesus about the kingdom of Israel. But the lordship of Jesus is not about establishing a temporal power here on earth, even though some of us may think that would be simpler. Wouldn't it be easier to have God establish his authority through forced means? Or wouldn't it be absolutely clear about who is in charge? But that's not the authority that God wants. Jesus' response demonstrates that we participate in God's kingdom by being witnesses, living embodiments of Jesus Christ to others. It is so easy to be awed and at sensational displays of power. We can be consumed by this concept, completely frozen in our discipleship. However, as the two agents of God remind the disciples, wake up. Don't let this awesome good news remain here, but do the work now that has been graciously entrusted to you. Now you are stewards of the kingdom. Go about the business of transforming lives and hearts so that others may experience that God is with us here and now. Jesus has truly conquered sin and death, fear and hopelessness and despair. And all of us have seen and believed it. Now is not the time to keep it to ourselves, but to boldly proclaim it with our lives and to go where it may not be comfortable. If we truly believe God is in charge, then we need to let God work through us in spite of our perceived weaknesses, and that we may find that the seemingly impossible can happen. Jesus promises in the gospel that if we get out of the way and do the hard work of proclaiming, then we will participate in great things. For example, being able to be at someone's bedside in the process of death while their spouse was making a run to the store and sharing the moment of peace while they were taken home. It wasn't planned, and I could have left just as easily, but God provided me the necessary strength to accompany them when that glorious moment happened. Such a simple thing that allows God to show God is in charge. And so we rejoice in the everlasting reign of this gracious King. And because Jesus has ascended into heaven beyond the limits of time and space, beyond the reach of death and evil, all of us are able to exercise the great virtue of hope. And so in today's preface of the Eucharistic prayer, which we will pray, there is a sentence that will express this. It says that Christ has passed beyond our sight, not to abandon us, but to be our hope. And Christians can hope more than anyone else because only Christ has ascended into heaven in his human nature. Jesus is now ruling the universe in that human nature, and his ascension is the bridge between heaven and earth, knowing that we are not abandoned. We are promised a room in the Father's house, because Jesus has gone to get one ready for us, for each and every one of us. Those who die in the friendship of Christ will not melt back into some impersonal void. We will not lose our humanity. We will experience it to the full, and then some. To believe in this, to take joy in this, to let this nourish our minds and strengthen us in the face of trials and temptations that accompany us every day, that's the virtue of hope. Hope carries us forward in the spiritual battles of our lives, even when we are wounded or tired, surrounded by enemies. This is our anchor in life, that the Lord we believe in, that we serve and we strive to follow, is ruling all of history, and his kingdom will never be conquered. And so let us live in that great virtue of hope, believing in the promise that Jesus gives us today and always, that the promise of the Spirit comes to us. And so I ask myself, and all of us should ask ourselves, does my life reflect this belief?